We're going to go ahead and get started with the questions that have already been typed into the chat. After we address those, we will continue to see if there are any additional questions. And following the webinar, if there are any questions that were not answered, we will follow up with the presenters and release a question and answer document. To begin, the first question is, with respect to the guidelines for Section 1116, where can these be found?
The MAP 21 website that's listed on the next step slide, which is Nick will retype into the chat box, or it's there on the slide now if you see it. So it's the FHWA MAP 21, and then it should be fairly well indexed that you could link to that specific guidance on 1116. But again, that really talks about the types of things, the question, it's a Q&A basically. And it has a companion guidance, which was issued in the Federal Register notice by the Office of Secretary. So again, the relationship between the 1116 and the requirement for a state freight plan make it necessary that in addition to looking at the 1116 guidance, which is on the MAP 21 website for Federal Highway, you also need to be familiar with the guidance that was issued on the Federal Register notice for, we will get that out there if we don't already have it for 1117 and 1118.
Yeah, so we issued, Chris noted earlier, there was interim state freight plan guidance that was published on October 15th, which we received a number of wonderful comments on that we're currently working our way through. So I want you to know that's still just an interim document, and there'll likely be some changes, but the point being, though, you can still find that document and the comments that we did receive on regulations.gov. You should be able to search for interim state freight. And you'll be able to it'll come up, and there you'll be able to read both what we proposed and the comments that were received.
And that's actually on our MAP 20. The link
a link is on the MAP 21 site as well. Fantastic. All right.
Okay. Next question: who do we contact to get our projects on the list of projects of national and regional significance?
That's a very good question. The PNRS program is sort of in limbo right now. Because as Ed said, it was authorized as part of MAP 21 at a $500 million level, but as you all know from your evening news, we're sort of operating in an interesting budget environment where we don't know yet what the full appropriation for fiscal year 2012 will look like. Fiscal year 2013. So right now, we're sort of waiting on Congress to act to see what, if anything, they appropriate for a new PNRS program. So while we're sort of waiting, we're not doing a lot of taking a lot of action on that. If, however, you have additional questions as they sort of come forward on the PNRS program or other questions about the freight effort, you can always contact, we have an inbox that I monitor that's the freight@dot.gov inbox. And, you know, as time goes by, if you see something on the news or you hear and you have questions that come up, you can always contact that inbox and either myself or someone else who's knowledgeable about the issue will respond back to you. So
I'd also like to jump in here. Regardless of what happens with the $500 million, we will go forward with the report to Congress that identifies and analyzes those projects of national and regional significance. We will be reaching out to, at minimum, state DOTs to understand what those projects are. So I would start discussing with your state DOT if you think you have one. So when the survey, we start to do the survey and study next year, we can capture that. So definitely coordinate with the state DOT at this point.
Okay, great. Next question is, as you go forward with the PNRS study, will there be opportunity for states and MPOs to submit potential projects?
Yeah, I think that was a same type question there.
Okay. Moving on then. And there was a question or two about how to access the slides for this presentation, and those are located in the file share box in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen. Next is, how does the Department of Transportation see rail fitting into the goals?
Well, our sort of imperative throughout all of this is to try and approach the freight system from a multimodal perspective. You know, we're very aware at the department that freight moves across different modes, and there's a lot of different systems out there that help move our nation's freight. And so while the law has us doing very specific things for various modes, when we are considering what we're producing and as we're producing products forward, we're doing it with staff from the different operating administrations. We're considering as much as possible working in the other modes into our analysis. So, you know, that's something that's very important to us.
Okay. How will projects eligible for increased federal share be selected?
I mean, in general, the authorization, project authorization process will follow the same project authorization process that regular projects follow under Title 23. So ultimately, to be considered or to be even eligible to be certified by the department, it still has to go through the regular process within a state. So it has to go through NEPA, has to be on a state freight plan in this case, and also has to go through the regular transportation planning process. So nothing in 1116, I guess, eliminates the need to follow the regular transportation planning process. So that project that comes up to be considered is one that would be authorized the same way that a typical project is authorized within the state DOT. The only difference is that in order to certify or to, I guess, allow the federal share, that's the only decision that's made at the Federal Highway and Office of the Secretary level. So everything else in the project planning and development process follows the regular process that you would on a regular Title 23 project. I can't tell the identity of the person asking the question with regard to your familiarity with that process, but in essence, again, the state DOT becomes the linchpin to this process also, because the funds that are available are funds that are available at the state DOT and have been allocated and appropriated to the state DOT. So ultimately, they are the decision makers as to whether or not a project is even going to be considered for use of their appropriated funds, basically.
Okay, fantastic. Next question is, with regards to the granting of a 95% federal share for a freight project, will this be managed as a national competition like the Tiger program, or will it be more focused on a state-by-state approach?
Again, I think the fact that the funding that's available for this increased federal share is state funding necessitates that it be through the state process before it even gets considered at the federal level. So it certainly is not a competition among projects at the federal level. It still needs to go through the state process. So it certainly won't be something where we'll wait until a pool of projects become available to make a decision, because at the time that a project is submitted, the assumption is that the project is at or near the point of it being ready to be authorized at the state level. So it certainly won't be, you know, a process that we wait until we get 10 or 15 projects and select among those projects. Each project will be evaluated on its own merit through the process that we've established in the guidance, which, again, is there eventually will be an authorization process where that project is ready to go forward at the state level.
To reiterate, this 95% federal share, this is for federal aid formula program dollars that are apportioned to the states. So there's no competitive nature about this. It's just within the state apportionment whether there are projects that the state chooses to advance in this manner.
And I guess the only internal thing within a state, because there is in the interim period the limitation of no more than 10% of the allocated funds to a state, the state may have some internal prioritization process by which they determine whether or not to even request a project through the department to be considered. So that's maybe one other thing to note, is that there is, during the interim period, a limitation of no more than 10% of the allocated funds to any particular state.
Okay, great. Does the department consider the diversion of freight from the interstate and other national highway system routes to rail as being important for addressing freight mobility?
Department, Paul has been.
The department. Here's what I'll say about that. I think when we evaluate freight projects in the Tiger program, we look at the impacts of the project from a public benefit perspective. What benefits? After the project is built and a certain impact happens, what are the benefits to the public in terms of environmental sustainability, in terms of safety, in terms of state of good repair. But that said, you know, we don't have a, you know, this bill, we're not planning the way freight moves in some really, you know, deep sense. I think we are trying to determine guidelines and provide better information to states as they plan their freight system investments. So I wouldn't say that that is a priority of the department. That said, we certainly acknowledge that when those diversions happen, that can have positive public benefits.
Okay. Next question is, how are rail facilities considered in the national freight network?
The rail facilities, I should say, the national freight network is a highway system. It's not the multimodal freight system that we know we need to function as a country. So when we are designating the national freight network, we will just be looking at designating highways. That said, when we look at how the national freight network, and particularly the primary freight network, is established, we'll be looking at how it connects up with the rail system to intermodal facilities, railheads, and also are there parallel rail lines close by, or is it only a highway in this area? What are the alternatives? And then from a more global perspective, I just think as we get into the National Strategic Freight Plan, we'll be looking at whether we need to highlight other modes and their systems and as part of a larger system.
Okay, great. Next question is, if PNRS has its own appropriations, do projects not compete for funds from other sources?
I don't know that I quite understand that question. I would say that yeah, I mean, if PNRS is appropriated, there will likely be some language that modifies how those funds are meant to be distributed. If it's going to be a merit-based competition, if it's earmarked, we don't know. So I would say that the appropriation language, whatever it ends up being, will shape how those funds are used. But a PNRS program would not necessarily be related to the state level formula funding, if that's what you're asking.
Right, and I think the other thing, it's set up as a competitive program, so you would compete just like you would for Tiger funds, and I would think, based on our experience from Tiger and where we have been as a department, we would look to see a lot of leveraging of any PNRS funds and a package put together, so if there was a solicitation, we would be looking for other federal funds in there, local funds, private sector funds to make up the package, and PNRS might even be considered the gap funding.
Okay, thank you. Next question is, will a timeline be issued in regard to applying for the increased federal share?
I mean, I guess we would ask for clarification that Steve maybe types in clarification. Are you talking about the response time from the time you submit a project for consideration to how long it would take for the department to render a decision as to whether it's eligible? And if that's the question, I would say that what we will be looking for, and we still have probably some additional outreach to do with our federal highway partners and our division offices, but what we would be eventually looking for when you submit a request is if there are specific timelines, then those need to be specified. For instance, if you're, you know, a month from going out to bid with your project and wanting to issue an RFP for the project, obviously we need to be made aware of that so that we can expedite that process as much as possible. But in the end, I would say that I would think forward in terms of when you want to have this federal share as a consideration. I would submit it as soon as you think it might be a project that you would want to have be considered for that federal share. Unfortunately, we don't have any examples yet of anyone requesting the federal share, increased federal share, so can't really speculate on timelines for a response in terms of when we would render a decision as to whether or not it could be, it will be certified as eligible for, or certified to go forward with the increased federal share. So unfortunately, that's one of those questions where we haven't had any experience yet to sort of judge what the response times are, et cetera. But the intent is certainly not to hold up a project in the process here within the department and evaluating the project. But again, main thing is to understand how that project's addressed in your state freight plan, and to understand how you're going to, what data and information you're going to use to justify it as being a project that increases the efficiency of goods movement.
And if they wanted to, they could come in today.
Right.
It's open now.
So that's another thing. Yes, if you have a project for consideration, at this point, as of the time the guidance has been issued, then you can start to submit those projects, for lack of a better word, now. So it's you're eligible, and it's effective now.
Okay, thank you. Next question is, are airports improvements included in the multimodal definition for increased freight federal share funding?
The main thing is the project has to be eligible under Title 23, and I'm not versed enough to know what types of airport projects are, but it is a surface transportation program, so eligibility of airport projects would only be considered to the degree that they're otherwise eligible under Title 23.
But to add to that, in terms of our broader analysis that we're doing in terms of the National Freight Strategic Plan, the creation of the National Freight Network, all of those things, we are including air cargo along with rail and marine cargo in our analysis. It's not something that we're trying to ignore.
And I guess just a quick note here from Federal Highways' perspective with regard to what types of projects are eligible. In each of our states, if you're a stakeholder asking a question who's not familiar with how Federal Highways funding processes and project planning and development processes work, we encourage you to contact the Federal Highway Division within your state if you have specific questions about project eligibility in general under Title 23 in the federal aid process.
Okay, thank you. Next question is, can states reference a freight project through the MPO's MTP?
The provision says that it has to be a state freight plan to be eligible for the increased federal share if you're talking about identification of a project for that purpose. So what we've said is, not in our guidance specifically, but in order to be recognized as a project, it has to be in a state freight plan. Now, whether or not a state determines that they want to reference an MPO plan as part of their state freight planning process, certainly if you could demonstrate that that's a reference been made to an MPO plan within your state plan, then we certainly probably would find that to be sufficient to, sufficient to represent a reference to a project specifically in a state freight plan. But again, it can't be a standalone MPO plan that is used. It has to be an MPO plan that is referenced to maybe in a state freight plan.
Yeah, and I would add a number of the comments that came in our guidance asked for more clarification on how MPO plans and other state-level produced plans could fit or would fit into the new state freight plan process. So as we move forward and work on issuing our response to those comments, I would expect to hear more on what our thoughts are and how those would integrate. But we're not intending to be make this too hard. I think, you know, we're hoping that we'll be able to find some flexible solutions.
Okay, great. And I think this next question was at least partially addressed, but I'll read it again. Will the National Freight Network be only roads, or will it include surface transportation, marine, highway program?
So Ed mentioned this earlier, but this gets to the way that the bill is written. The bill defines for us what they are calling the National Freight Network as a road-only network. That said, we are trying to take a very broad approach and look at the national freight system, understanding that rail and marine highways and pipelines and airports that carry air cargo are all important elements in our national freight system. So we are considering those and using a lot of the resources the department has put to develop those other systems and those other maps as part of our analysis. That said, when we do produce a map of the National Freight Network, it will be a road-only network only because that's the way the bill has defined it for us. But we are trying to examine how freight moves and evaluate how freight moves on all of our modal systems.
Okay, thank you. The next question, if state DOTs are trapped into highway freight solutions because of their in-state analysis, how does the DOT implement multimodal planning for freight systems that pass through multiple state borders?
That is a tough question. I think, you know, a lot of what MAP 21 instructs us to do is to encourage states to engage in freight planning, both in the development of state freight plans and in the development of state freight advisory committees. In our efforts to encourage states to do that, and in our guidance, we have written, spent a lot of time trying to suggest that they really examine these issues in a real multimodal way, that they look at the freight system across modes, not in roads only. So that's essentially, I think, our answer in terms of what we're doing is we're trying to, you know, encourage all of the stakeholders in each state to get involved with their states, including the stakeholders that represent rail and ports and other non-road modes. And we're also trying in our guidance to states to really show that the system is a multimodal one. And in our National Freight Strategic Plan language, we are required to identify gateways and trade corridors and other non-road specific assets. So, you know, I think there's going to be a lot coming out of this department to try and really capture the multimodal nature of the freight system.
Yeah, and I'll just add to that the MAP 21 language does increase or, I guess, add to the eligible applicants for PNRS.
Absolutely.
So that alone, I think, will necessitate that through the development of the study that catalogs the PNRS projects, that we do have some process to get input from other eligible entities. So, again, it was emphasized that we would survey the states, but it doesn't say that we can't survey other eligible applicants.
Right. And I think through our Tiger Discretionary Grant Program, too, we've really recognized that a lot of very important freight and transportation projects are not road-only projects. And I think a lot of states have sat up and taken notice that there are other investments that you could make that aren't just road investments that might improve your freight system in a really significant way.
I think one other thing on that is that the TNRS language talks about transportation projects. It doesn't talk about highway projects. So it could be a Title 23 eligible port or rail project. So we shouldn't get locked into being highway.
Okay, thank you. Does including truck stop electrification, which includes full HVAC, shore power only, or in between, or setting aside no idle zones for trucks with APUs and BACs, improve the funding prospects for a truck parking proposal, giving the ability to show greater environmental benefits?
Well, we're lucky we have Tom Carney, who is our freight operations manager, with us today. We'll give this one to Tom.
Good afternoon, everybody. The question has to do with local project selection, and it's certainly not a question that we would answer here at the national level. State DOTs have the process for selecting, prioritizing projects. If the environmental aspects of a project is part of that review process for a project to be included on a capital plan, certainly those projects would compete more effectively. Thanks, Ed.
Okay. Next question is, has the Section 1510 APU weight increase been printed in the CFR yet?
No, it has not, but we are working on getting the update to the CFR.
Okay. Who on the federal level is coordinating the truck size and weight?
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Tom Carney. I'm with the Freight Office of Federal Highway, leading the truck size and weight study under Section 32801.
Tom, can you talk a little bit about some of the other groups you have working with you within the department?
Absolutely, and thank you for asking. We have pavement and bridge safety experts, both in the research area, program area, working as subject matter experts. They will be looking to help to shape and develop the contents of the technical study that will form the foundation for the report to Congress. On top of that, we've assembled a policy oversight group that includes all of the modal agencies within USDOT, and we're working very closely with the Secretary's office as we progress this study.
All right, thank you. The next question is with respect to the intermodal diversion aspect of the truck size and weight study. Will this consider the economic impacts on other modes?
Mandatory. It is required under Section 32801 that we do exactly that. The impact of a change in the federal truck size and weight limits and how it impacts the operation of the overall transportation system of the nation is required to be investigated. Modal shifts amongst trucks, between modes, be it air, rail, or waterborne, that would be impacted by a change in federal truck size and weight limits will be evaluated and included within the study.
Thank you, Tom. Next question is, will the truck size and weight study include an economic analysis of the impact of regulatory change on mode split? In other words, will an increase in max truck weight result in moving by truck, which would impact aggregate pavement damage?
Boy, that's exactly what we'll be investigating. We will be building on research that's been conducted not only through the Transportation Research Board, the National Cooperative Highway Research Program. We'll be tapping into the libraries of the state DOTs that have done a noteworthy amount of investigation into the impacts of trucks. So we will be certainly addressing that aspect within the study, and we will be capitalizing, not re-engineering and not redoing previously completed work, but actually looking to integrate any completed technical work within the study that we'll be presenting to Congress.
Thank you again. Next question is, given the big lift for states to develop MAP 21 compliant freight plans, and the time it'll take all the states to get there, what is the U.S. DOT's process to build the national plan? How exactly will state freight plans be incorporated, and how a national plan will be created if only some states develop compliant state freight plans?
That's a good question, one we've seen a lot in some of the comments we've already received on the state freight plan guidance. To be honest, I don't have a complete and accurate answer for you. I think we're still working out all these. Since the bill has been passed, we've been working on a lot of different issues sort of simultaneously moving forward. The state freight plan guidance, given the time that it would take states to actually make freight plans, was one of our first priorities that we've published and are still working. Some of the other statutory deadlines that are more immediate in our future, including the designation of the primary freight network, including some of the reports to Congress. So I think the National Freight Strategic Plan, which is due in 3 years from the passage of the bill, we're sort of waiting to see as we push out these more immediate issues how we're going to set up our process for putting that together. But it's important to note that what the states are expected to do in their state freight plans, or at least what we're suggesting they do and encouraging them they do, is not necessarily exactly the same as what we will be doing on the national level. And I think our effort to encourage states to conduct the state freight plan level was an effort to get them as many as we can get to help inform, you know, what we put together as a national freight strategic plan. But we're not necessarily just going to be stitching together what the states give us wholesale. I think we'll be evaluating things at a national benefit level, not at the state or regional level. So the answer to your question is we don't have an exact process. We're sort of waiting to see how the states approach the state freight plan guidance process, and we'll be working on that for several years to come.
Okay, thank you. The next question is, the interim guidance on Section 1116 says that non-interstate freight projects eligible for the federal aid highway program must be included in a state freight plan to be eligible for an increased 90-10 federal funds match. The proposed freight projects must also demonstrate that they will improve performance per Section 1203, which 1. Direct states to measure freight performance on the interstate system, and 2. MPOs and states to measure performance, which included freight performance isn't specifically mentioned, of the expanded national highway system. Will the U.S. DOT Secretary establish truck freight performance measures for the expanded NHS?
This is a great question for those of you who couldn't catch that whole long description. Basically, the Section 1116, one of the requirements is that the plan show, or the project for the increased match show that it will improve the freight performance. And this person wants to know, well, how will we know that? Is the Secretary intending to establish truck freight performance measures? And the answer to that question is yes, that we're working on freight performance measures for all of our freight modes in addition to trucking, and that's one of the more immediate tasks that we're working on ahead of the National Freight Strategic Plan. So that's something that's currently ongoing right now. What I'll add is that in the interim, though, the guidance that FHWA has posted on their website, I'll let Crystal speak to that a little bit more, but ultimately, yes, we will be publishing standardized freight performance measures across modes.
You know, although Paul had mentioned we're going to be looking at those types of performance measures, we need to probably have a little bit more discussion on what it means for Section 1203. As you noted, that the performance measures under that section say freight movement on the interstate system, and then there's another one that is non-freight related that says of condition and performance of the NHS. So we would have to have another internal discussion about for non-interstate projects what that would mean.
Yeah, I mean, I think as Paul pointed out in the interim guidance, what we said is that until those measures and targets are established, that the state can rely upon freight performance measures that are in their state freight plan. So from that perspective, I believe that if you have a facility that's non-interstate, which is what 1203 covers, as long as it's sufficiently addressed in the state freight plan from a performance perspective, I think that we would still be able to have some flexibility in considering that project under 1116. That's, again, the current as of today, because today 1203 doesn't exist yet, so we're still at this point relying upon performance data that's in the state freight plan. So at this point, if you were to request a project tomorrow, 1203 wouldn't be in existence, so we would rely upon that state freight plan to describe how performance is being addressed in the state and performance goals for freight that are already in existence within the state or a part of the state freight planning process.
Okay, thank you. What's being proposed to overcome the data deficits we face at the national and state levels in order to effectively identify freight system needs and trends and establish performance measures to support decision making?
Another very good question. It's definitely something that has come up in a lot of our internal meetings, how, you know, there's all the things that we want to measure and we want to be able to track that oftentimes the data just doesn't exist, or if it exists, it's in a lot of different places and it's private and it's not all that accessible to the public. The answer to your question is we don't have a uniform strategy currently on how we're going to address those issues. I think we're in determining what our performance measures will be. We're looking at, obviously, the existing data that we do have. We are looking, in terms of the freight performance measures from 1115, we're looking, we're having a lot of meetings on what data we could feasibly collect that maybe we haven't collected up to this point. But it's definitely something that we're examining and we'll be approaching on sort of a piece-by-piece basis.
I would recommend that you take a look at the Federal Highway Administration's Office of Freight Management and Operations website. We have a number of data sources on there. Of course, we have the Freight Analysis Framework that provides a great national tool for looking at flows and origins and destinations, things of that nature, and it works well at the regional level. We also have the Freight Performance Measures Program that uses the probe data on the interstate system, and we are expanding that, and we'll be giving that data out to the state DOTs and MPOs to use. We also have a whole bunch of NCFRP reports that have a number of different techniques that you can use. We have the Freight Model Improvement Program, and we have the Freight Quick Response Freight Manual. In addition, we have a number of courses, and we recognize that there are data gaps, and oftentimes it's working with the private sector to get that localized data. One of the things we always are encourage folks is to engage the private sector. We have a couple workshops on that. If you haven't taken them, consider taking them. We'll be coming out with probably a data course in the near future, too.
Okay, next question is, who is on the Freight Policy Council? What main agencies and organizations make it up that is developing the national strategic plan?
Right. I addressed this earlier. We didn't want to limit the development of the National Freight Strategic Plan and the outreach that we'll do in conjunction with that to any set group of individuals. So in terms of what the Freight Policy Council, and again, you can always find the charter, that's an internal group that's a DOT level group with a number of our deputy administrators and folks from the Office of the Secretary and high-level officials who are helping coordinate essentially the staff needs to get this process completed, to implement these provisions. We are doing a full court press on outreach and are always open to new input from the private and public sector stakeholders across the country. So the Freight Policy Council, again, internal government group here at DOT, but in terms of getting the input from the states, from MPOs, from the ports, from the railroads, from businesses, we've already identified a number of forums that we'll be able to engage those groups, and we're always looking for more. So, we're going to be really trying to incorporate as much public and much expertise that we can.
Thank you. Can a state DOT have more than one state freight advisory committee, such as committees that cover separate urban regions?
I think it's interesting. We understand that every state is going to come up with different solutions for how they want to do their freight planning. The law, again, required us to encourage states to create a state-level freight advisory committee. There are a number of these that already exist. They go by different names, but that's largely the reason why it was in the bill in terms of whether a state would like to create a single entity or would like instead to utilize different smaller groups for different urban regions. That's going to be entirely up to them. There's no requirements in MAP 21 for the establishment of a state freight advisory committee. We're only expected to encourage states to do that.
Okay. Thank you. Next question is, when a plan is submitted for grant funding consideration, what will the evaluation process include?
A plan, what's going to be ultimately submitted to Federal Highway and the Department, if you're referencing the provisions under 1116, is not a plan. It's going to be a project for grant funding. So there is no plan submission for grant funding. The state freight plan is what determines whether a specific project is addressed in that state freight plan. So we won't be submitting a plan to Federal Highway. In terms of what you submit to the division, our guidance on the MAP 21 website prescribes the types of things that have to be present in a request for the project that goes, again, through from the state DOT, which is the funding source. So you can't directly, if you're an entity that's not a state DOT, you can't directly submit a project to a Federal Highway Division office within a state for consideration. It is a process that has to go from state DOT to Federal Highway Division, from Federal Highway Division to the Office of the Secretary eventually. So the process itself is one which always has to include the state because they are the funding source for the 1116 provision. And with regard to how it will be evaluated, again, number one, the project has to be sufficiently addressed in a state freight plan. Number two, you have to have some quantitative data that shows how the state's goods movement efficiency is going to be improved. So in our guidance, we list the types of things that our divisions will be evaluating after the project submitted through the state, and the state can use those same type of guidelines to make the determination of whether even to submit it to the division. But in terms of the evaluation process, the first endorsement is from our Federal Highway Divisions, and beyond that, the Secretary will do internal prioritization based on the things that were put out in the interim guidance as the highest priority type project. So the evaluation process, again, is a per-project, project-by-project basis, and each project is evaluated on its own merit. It's not a, again, compilation of projects that are evaluated against one another.
Okay, thank you.
Paul, did you want to add something to that?
I did. I think what the curiosity, I think, in a lot of the comments came in, they said, well, I want to, how do I know that my project, how do I know that what I consider a state freight plan, DOT also considers a state freight plan? Because I think a lot of folks are looking to see if they've already got plans made, will that fit as a state freight plan based on what we've recommended in the guidance? And what I can say is the guidance is very broad, includes a lot of recommended elements that are not in the bill, but elements that we thought were potentially useful and would help bring your state freight plan in line with what we're intending to do nationally. That said, there are a few minimum requirements in the bill, and you can find those explicitly laid out not only in this presentation, but also in the state freight plan guidance. So, you know, it will at a minimum have to have those five or six things that MAP 21 spells out for it to be a state freight plan, whether that's a section of a larger service transportation investment plan or whether that's part of a standalone plan. So I think we're going to have to, you know, we don't know yet what people are going to try and do on that front, but I think just look to see that your freight plan addresses what's in the bill.
Right, and I guess I misinterpreted that question because of the grant funding part of that, but with regard to the plan itself and compliance of the plan, we'll provide technical assistance in coordination with our division offices to do pre-plan reviews and give feedback on what things can be added. So we are working aggressively at this point, mostly with AASHTO and internal, but eventually with our individual division offices to understand what constitutes a sufficient state freight plan in accordance with MAP 21. So,
all right, we have just a few more minutes here and a couple more questions, so we're going to run through the rest of these quickly. Can we answer everybody's?
Okay, yes, and that is the next question. Are there efforts underway to streamline exemptions for Buy America for projects that cannot source American-made products?
Yeah, I don't know if that's a subject we're necessarily covering in terms of MAP 21 freight provisions. There wasn't anything in MAP 21 in terms of the freight provisions that address Buy America explicitly.
Next question, what is the timetable for the national standards to be released?
National standards.
Goals.
Oh, the goals. In terms of the performance goals, I think we're still working out how quickly we can get those out, so I don't have an explicit timetable for you now.
Will the U.S. DOT remind state DOTs that rail highway grade separations are eligible projects under the National Freight Program and should be included in the state freight plan?
Well, there's no National Freight Program funding, but there are a number of formula programs. We do have the eligibilities and guidance on our site, so folks can look at that.
I think a good resource always is the Federal Highways Division office. If you're curious about whether a project is eligible, you can always approach them, and they'll let you know if it's eligible or not.
Okay, next question. Is there any work being done on containers on trailers on rail? Units like FedEx triple units on I-70 in western Colorado only hook together, similar to multiple diesel units on freight trains, to eliminate putting containers on rail cars. Similar to the IBM shift from large computers to many smartphones.
We're not doing anything specifically on that topic right now, but we're always looking for innovative solutions because we know there's a lot more freight coming. We need to maximize use of all our modes.
Okay. We have a couple questions left, so we're going to go a minute or two over. But the next question is, has a schedule been established for the Freight Policy Council's regional listening roundtables?
No, we don't have anything approaching a formal schedule yet. Sort of right now we're taking advantage as officials from the department are on travel they are scheduling sort of informal roundtables with stakeholders in the area where they may be. But Elaine, I can get back to you on that as I can keep you in the loop as we plan those. As we plan regional listening sessions, we'll definitely make sure to broadcast that out to the freight community.
Okay. Do you foresee a separate program for grade separation projects? They can be quite costly and might better be funded through their own program.
I agree. They can be quite costly. I think the philosophy going into MAP 21 is to consolidate the number of programs down to a very small number and give a lot of flexibility to the states and MPOs and what's eligible under there. So that eligibility is in there, but having specific programs is something we're trying to trend away from.
Okay, thank you. How will infrastructure improvements of border crossings be funded? Will the CBI type program in MAP 21?
Rajat, there is no CBI type program in MAP 21. Just like Ed just says, the flexibility for determining which projects get funded are the eligibility is there under the programs that are under MAP 21, but there is no specific CBI program as it existed under Safety List.
Okay. And the last question we're going to cover for today is, why wasn't anything in MAP 21 on freight for MPOs?
Well, I think there was stuff in MAP 21 for freight for MPOs. You need to look at some of the target setting for the freight performance measures there, as well as some of the roles we have in the rest of 1115. And I think that it's really important. MPOs play a really important role in the whole freight dialogue, especially with some of the advisory committees that are set up. They have a very rich local knowledge and are able to work closely with the state DOTs to have a great understanding of what's going on in the state. So MPOs have a very important role, even if it's not explicitly throughout MAP 21. We think they're critical to making freight work in the U.S.
Okay. We do apologize for going a few minutes over, but if there are any additional questions that were not covered, we will do our best to get answers for those and send them with the follow-up information. But I'll begin the closeout of the webinar now, and I thank you all for attending today's seminar. The recorded version of this event will be available within the next few weeks on the Talking Freight website. And as a reminder, if you are an AICP member and would like to receive 1.5 certification maintenance credits for attending the seminar, please make sure you were signed in today with your first and last name, or you can type your first and last name into the chat box if you are attending with a group of people. Please download the evaluation form and email it to me after you have completed it. And please also download the CM credit instructions if you're unsure how to obtain the credits for today's seminar. The next scheduled seminar will be held on December 19th on the topic of Freight Academy capstone projects. Registration for this seminar is not yet available, but an email will be sent out when registration opens. I encourage you all to join the Freight Planning Listserv if you've not done so already. And with that, we will close out the webinar. So thank you again for attending and enjoy the rest of your day.